Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
Little red Corvette, ooh, ooh, baby, you're much too fast. Whoa, little red Corvette, ooh, 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 you need a love that's gonna last.
Yes, little red Corvette, you.
Prince is hard to sing.
Well, he's also got so much going on. There's like four people harmonizing with him. It's quite a lot of work. What's up, everyone? You are watching / listening to the Command Zone Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai. Jimmy, this is going to be one of your favorite episodes ever.
Yes, it is dedicated to Red because we are going over the partner commanders. Commander Legends is here. There are 40 of them.
40 There's partners.
40 partners, yeah, yeah. And we've gone through how many, like 30 plus.
We did all the solo commanders already. Oh, yeah, now we're going to go by color. We decided that if we did a video with even half the partners, that's still 20 legends. Yep. That's going to be over 2 hours long. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a video for each color because all the partner commanders in Commander Legends are monocolored. So yes. Today is the red partners.
Hopefully these will be a little bit shorter as well. That'd be nice.
Yeah, not an hour and a half or whatever. Yeah. But before we get into it, we got to talk about our sponsors, cardkingdom.com/commandzone. Listen, Commander Legends, let's be honest, it looks really, 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 really sweet.
It does.
There are a ton of cards in here that you're going to want to get your hands on. So cardkingdom.com/commandzone, if you just go on over there right now, you can pre-order the booster boxes, you can pre-order any of the sealed product, but you can also pre-order the singles. So if there's just certain cards you want for certain decks, that is kind of the most efficient way, I think, to spend your money on Magic rather than sort of playing the lottery with the booster packs, which booster packs are great for draft and other things. And I like to crack packs, so that's a good way to go too. But I'm just saying they do have the singles available right now if you want to order them. So
yeah, and there's tons of uncommon commanders that are very powerful. And like I spent the most time I spent on one of these was an uncommon commander. So
yeah,
there's a lot of really fun stuff out there to brew around.
For sure. And then once you get your hands on the cards, you do want to protect them. You want to make sure they stay in pristine condition. The best way to do that is to put all of your game pieces into Ultra Pro products. So they've got the Pro Glossy Clip sleeves now. They have the theme sleeves for the set as well. And
tons of playmats as well. There's tons of art from this set that they are able to make some beautiful, beautiful stuff out of.
And then, of course, they've got their deck boxes that keep your entire deck very, very safe. Satin Towers are the ones we suggest.
Yep.
Ultra Pro really is the best in the business and the ones that Jimmy and I personally trust to protect our own cards.
Yeah. And the final way to support the show is directly at patreon.com/commandzone. We love our patrons. In fact, they were allowed to audition for game nights most recently. That is now over, but
we got hundreds of submissions, by the way. It's going to take us a little while to go through.
Yeah.
We will be announcing that eventually. It's just going to take a little while.
Yeah, and they also get to watch game nights and extra turns a day early, ad-free, and you know we get to communicate with them on our Discord, so we have an entire channel literally dedicated to asking Josh and I questions, and we sit there and we answer them, and we've answered probably thousands of questions at this point in our Discord, and the Discord itself is thriving.
A lot of fun discussion regarding new cards as they get spoiled for Commander Legends and things like that. Yeah, our Discord is a lot of fun. Also, one thing we haven't mentioned, I think, before in the past, but is true, is that for the podcast episodes, we don't patrons don't get to see those a day early just because we're not done in time, but they do get access to an ad-free audio version of the podcast as well. So there's a bunch of perks, patreon.com/commandzone. Also, we call out one lucky patron every single episode, and this episode is dedicated to Isaiah Collar. Isaiah, you rock.
You got collared out.
One thing before we get into the main topic we have to talk about is we have another Kickstarter going on right now. We just launched, and it's pretty exciting. It's something we've been working on for a while.
Ooh, that's right. We made our own custom Game Nights sleeves. These are done by Ultra Pro. They are extremely high quality. They're two different styles, and this is going to be unlike other Kickstarters we've done because these are actually a limited edition
quantity.
Sorry, not edition. Because we had to order these in advance. Sleeves are very hard to manufacture. We had to go through a lot of testing. And so we've actually got them all downstairs at the office right now. That means when they are sold out on the Kickstarter, that's it. The quantity is gone.
Yeah, we only have a limited number. We just had to print these and produce these before we ran the Kickstarter. Yeah. Sleeves are complicated. With the playmats, usually what we do is we wait until all the orders are in, and then we produce that many playmats so we know exactly how to make. We had to do it in the opposite order this time. Yeah, that means that if you want to get these sleeves, get on over to the Kickstarter right now. We can't even guarantee at the moment we're recording this, they won't already be sold out. Hopefully not. Hopefully not. But yeah. Anyway, that link will be in the show notes. Yep. All right. Let's get on over to our main topic here. Commander Legends.
Solo partners. Well, partners aren't technically solo because they come with many partners.
Yeah. This is the partners in red.
Yep.
Each color gets sort of the same spread of uncommon, rare, and mythic. So there are six uncommon partners. One rare, one mythic. That'll be the same for every single color.
Yep.
I believe.
And of course, when we talk about these partners, they have partner as a mechanic. So there's a whole list of partners that have existed before as well, thanks to the original Commander precons that had them. So if you're interested in pairing any of these up, you can just go down that list and say, hey, what colors do I want to add to this? We're going to mention a few of them throughout, but for your own benefit, just make sure you have that list handy if you want to check out which ones are potentially great combos with this partner.
There are so many partners, and I believe there's like thousands of possible combinations with any, you know, so it's impossible for us to go through them all. So we're just going to talk about each partner, and then we'll probably suggest like, oh, you probably want this color maybe because of these cards, that kind of stuff. All right, let's begin
with Elena, Kessig Trapper. This is 4 and a red for a 4/3 legendary creature human scout with first strike. It says, tap to add an amount of red mana equal to the greatest power among creatures you control that enter the battlefield this turn. So Elena, by herself, if she had haste, you cast her, you can tap her, and she is the greatest power of creatures that enter the battlefield this turn that I control, so I would add 4 red mana if I was able to tap Elena itself.
Yeah, you need haste on her.
Yeah, the important thing about this, though, is that it does not count the power of the creature when it enters the battlefield. So you can augment the power of the creature at any point. And then you're going to be able to do it from
interesting.
There.
Interesting. I didn't even realize that. Yeah, you're right. Because it only checks, did the creature enter this battlefield this turn? If the answer is yes, okay, what's its power right now? Give that many mana. It's kind of like a quote-unquote fix Selvala.
Yeah. Because we need to fix Selvala, obviously.
Well, she is pretty broken.
Well, obviously, if you want to go infinite, it's easy because you have cards like Umbral Mantle and Staff of Domination. You basically just have to add more mana than the cost to untap it. So Umbral Mantle is an artifact that with an equip cost of 0, but cost 3 to cast, you can pay 3 and untap it, and the creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn.
So you just need to create 4 mana. Just to leave you with one extra so you make infinite mana with Elena.
Keep tapping Elena over and over again. It also gives the... If you do happen to have it be Elena, be the creature... That
Elena's going to get infinitely
it's
large.
It's going to get infinitely larger too, but that won't really matter.
Even if it's 3, then you could go infinitely large with Elena, right?
Yeah, totally. Because you just add... It goes.
You add the 3 untapper, and you do that enough times to then eventually attack. Yeah, you take out one player.
Massive, yeah. And then Staff of Domination, obviously, this is the same thing. You can pay mana to untap it, and then you can also untap the Staff of Domination with the extra mana. Not hard to make those cards go infinite.
That's true. I feel like we mentioned those cards like once per set. As like, yep, this goes infinite with that commander. Umbral Mantle turns out pretty good. Like,
oh no, how many times do we mention Phyrexian and Nashnod's Altar? Probably a billion.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
And then when we're talking about creatures that have a lot of power that can enter the battlefield sneakily, there's obviously one of my favorite cards ever, which is Greater Gargadon. It's 9 and a red for a 9/7, but it's got Suspend 10 for 1 red mana. So you pay a red mana, you put this card into exile, and then you remove Suspend counters each upkeep, or you can, in this case, Greater Gargadon says you can sacrifice an artifact, creature, or land to remove a time counter from Greater Gargadon, which is great because you can do that at instant speed, and then boom, you have a 9-power creature that enters the battlefield. Elena can tap for 9. 9 red mana when that happens.
I can even see turns where you have Umbral Mantle in hand, you hold it, put Greater Gargadon out, and then wait till everybody's tapped out. Sack my 5 lands.
Yep.
Get Gargadon out, tap Elena for 9, play the Umbral Mantle, equip it, untap her, and start going.
Yeah, that's actually great. The fact that you can sacrifice lands to Greater Gargadon means that you can sometimes just very sneakily get this out, which is one of my favorite cards. And it's a sack outlet for weird things like artifacts and lands.
Or somebody goes to steal your commander, you're like, just sack it.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's Sneak Attack, which is a card that we also mention pretty much every single set. Because with Sneak Attack type effects, where you can put creature cards from your hand onto the battlefield or cheat cards out, red is actually kind of trending in this direction.
Yeah, the new Purphoros did it too.
Yep, Purphoros Bronze Blooded does that, but just for red creatures. Ilharg the Raised Board does it from your hand, and then Ilharg also goes onto the library if it happens to die. And then the Felden of the Third Path is an older commander card, but you're creating a token that's a copy of a card that's in your graveyard, except it makes it an artifact as well.
I mean, Sneak Attack and Purphoros are the real ones to me, because especially Sneak Attack, 1 red mana, get any creature from your hand onto the battlefield. You have to sacrifice it at the end step, but you don't care for Elena because you pay the 1 red mana to get like whatever, a 7/7 out,
yeah.
And then you just get all that mana and maybe go off or whatever you want to do with it. That seems pretty nuts.
Yep. You've also got Zirlin of the Claw, which sort of grabs a dragon permanent from your library to the battlefield. So I know a lot of people, and Lathless Dragon Queen makes a bunch of 5/5s. There are a lot of players in red. They're like, cool, this is great. This is an excellent way for red to ramp through mana.
And it's time restricted, so it feels very red. Yeah, I like this a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. And then there's Malignus, which I thought was really fun too. It's 3 red for an elemental spirit with Star, and its power and toughness are each equal to half the highest life total among your opponents rounded up.
It could be a 20/20. Could be a 20/20. If no one's taking damage, yeah.
Yeah, there's also that one that that comes in with +1/+1 counters equals the number of lands your opponents control. It's the Blasting something. It was from Conspiracy. Yeah. I forget the name, but we'll show it on screen.
Blasting Team or something?
Yeah. And then, of course, if you have a lot of equipment that I think that auto-equips on the creatures, this is great for Elena because you don't need to pay the equip cost. You play a 4/4, it gets equipped by one of these things, bounces up to a 6/5 or whatever, and then the lane can tap for more time. So you've got Ronin War Club, which says equip creature gets +2/+1. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, attach Ronin War Club to that creature, because you don't want to pay the 5 equip cost on that one. Grafted War Gear has an equip cost of 0, but it gives it +3/+2. So you can just see that as 3 extra mana for any creature that enters the battlefield. And Hero's Blade automatically attaches to legendary creatures. So
I would also look at Silvala decks and look for the non-green creatures, or maybe you're going to pair this with a green creature, in which case you can just use the Silvala cards. But there's like Lupine Prototype, Phyrexian Soulgorger, those creatures that like cost very cheap. It's like 3 mana for an 8/8, but it has a downside. It has a cumulative upkeep of sack a creature or whatever, but you don't care because you're going to play it, tap to get a million mana and do nuts things right now. So
And if you pair the lane up partner wise I think with Boros Commanders, then that's a great equipment deck right there because of the cards I just mentioned, and you get access to Pyrrhosteel Paladin, Sigarda's Aid, that whole suite of stuff.
Why would you want to pair it with white? You could pair it with blue or green.
Look, Josh, not everyone wants to go blue or green every single time, even though they could. So I think Elena has a lot of interesting ways to go. There are obviously tons of ways to break it and make it go infinite as well.
Very powerful.
Yeah, very powerful. But that's great to see red have an ability like this to add that much red mana. She's basically a mana dork, if you think about it.
Yeah. You're definitely adding, even if you're not going off, you're adding some mana probably every single turn. So just getting like 3 or 4 mana every turn out of your commander is pretty decent. I mean, it's 5 casting costs, so I think that kind of keeps the power level a little bit in check. But
yeah,
cool card. All right, let's go on to the next one, which is Breaches, Brazen Plunderer.
Breaches!
4 mana total for a legendary goblin pirate that is a 3/3 with menace. Breaches says...
I'm sorry, what?
A 3/3 with Menace.
Thank you.
My bad.
You said a second ago.
It says, whenever one or more pirates you control deal damage to your opponents, exile the top card of each of those opponents' libraries. You may play those cards this turn, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast those spells. Hmm. So it's whenever one or more pirates you control deal damage to your opponents. So you can't get more than one card off the top of each opponent's library, though.
Right. Yeah. You can get up to 3 if you have 3 opponents.
Right.
It's cool, though, because it's any type of damage, which says a lot.
Oh,
which is really
not
exciting.
Combat damage. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, so if it's a partner, that means you can partner this up with a blue commander and then play cards like Quicksilver Dagger, which is 1 blue and a red to enchant a creature and make it a pinger. So this creature deals 1 damage to a target player or a planeswalker.
I like
you
this.
Draw a card.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
You draw a card and you get to play the top card
and
from the library.
And you kind of draw a card off their library.
Yeah, exactly. And then Glinthorn Buccaneer is a big combo-tastic card. I think CEDH loves this. One red for a Minotaur Pirate with haste. Whenever you discard a card, it deals one damage to each opponent. Mm. It's also a pirate, thank goodness. And then you can just pay one and a red to discard a card and draw a card. But you can only do it when it's attacking. So not so great on that side of things. And then I was like, wait a minute, what if you could make pingers into pirates? Because obviously blue and red, Josh, you know there are plenty of pingers in these colors. So there's artifacts like Captain's Hook, which makes a creature a pirate. Except that when it becomes unattached, you destroy that permanent. But it only has an equip cost of one. And then you have Arcane Adaptation, which you can choose a creature type when there's the battlefield, and then every creature becomes that creature type. So
you can make, yeah, exactly. Every card that you play is going to be a pirate after that. And if it's like Tim's or things that... There are cards that tap and deal one damage to each opponent or whatever, which would be really great with this, right?
Yes, like Reckless Fireweaver type cards.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. I think if you made it a pirate, made everything into a pirate, it's a bit of a jump with Breaches, but it seems like a lot of fun.
You have access to a lot of cards. I mean, that's going to be legitimately pretty strong, I think.
Yeah, and then two partner commanders we'll talk about a couple of times this episode is Malcolm Keen-Eyed Navigator and Ghost of Ramirez de Pietro. Both of them are pirates, and both of them care about doing damage to your opponents. For Malcolm, it's a flyer that you create a treasure token with basically the same text for each opponent dealt damage. And for Ghost of Ramirez de Pietro, he deals combat damage, not regular damage. You choose up to one target card in the graveyard that was discarded or put there from a library this turn, and you put that card into your owner's hand. So that's got like a discard outlet type.
Return stuff too, right?
Return stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and they're both pirates themed because the blue-red sort of draft archetype for the set is pirates.
Yep.
So
pirates getting a lot of love this set randomly
in the last couple of years for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, Ixalan as well. Yeah, yeah. And then an Ashlyn Rose favorite, Admiral Beckett Brass, is a great commander I think to put Breaches into. And then you have a bunch of pirates that are just really good at doing damage. So like Stormfleet Sprinter can't be blocked. Spectral Sailor, it's a 1/1 for one blue man with flash, and it also helps you draw cards. So there's a lot of different ways to go. I think if you're going the pirate route, you can try and make all your cards pirates, or you can just play a pirate's deck and have Breaches be the commander or be a helper.
Or you can do a little of both, right?
Like yeah.
Try and make your stuff pirates, but still have some pirates in there. I think that's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
It's just cool, in case though. They destroy your Arcane Habitat adaptation, you're not just totally hosed.
Now, if there is ever a pirate instant, like how they have like tribal instants for elves and stuff, then you could also like maybe shock someone for damage and then do something with Breaches. But I don't think that's happening quite yet.
All right, let's go on to the next one, which is Dargo the Shipwrecker.
This one's getting a lot of talk.
So it's 6 and a red for a 7/5 legendary giant pirate. As an additional cost to cast this spell, you may sacrifice any number of artifacts and or creatures. This spell costs 2 less to cast for each permanent sacrifice this way, and 2 less to cast for each other artifact or creature you sacrifice this turn. That last part doesn't have to be 2 Dargo.
Yes.
And Dargo has trample. So 7/5 with trample that you can reduce the casting cost of. You can basically get rid of all except for 1 red mana.
Yep.
It's always going to cost 1 red mana, but besides that, yeah. Definitely ways to sort of infinitely cast this guy over and over and sack him, right? Because the next time you play him, it will still count all the stuff you've sacrificed that turn.
And if you sacrifice Dargo himself to a sack outlet, it sees it as another creature you sacrificed this turn. So let's say you get him down to 1 red mana. You sacrifice 3 artifacts and pay 1 red. And then you sacrifice Dargo once he comes down on the battlefield.
That basically plays for the commander tax.
For the commander tax, yeah. And then if you play him again for 1 red mana, sack him again, that's a 4 mana reduction. So he will always pay for his commander tax.
Yeah, once you've got him down to 1 red mana, he's just going to be 1 red mana for the rest of that turn.
Yep. Well, you just need a Phyrexian Altar then to make that 1 red mana, or you need a Thermopod, which is a creature that does the same thing. And then you can basically go infinite with enters the battlefield and dies triggers.
So that's like Purphoros, Impact Tremors.
Yep.
Any aristocrats, if you're with red, if you're black, you get the Blood Artist, Zulaport.
Yep. If you're playing Jessica Thrice Reborn, because you're casting Dargo as a commander from the command zone, Jessica comes in with as many counters as you want. And
infinite
then just
loyalty.
One-shots people with her minus X.
Yeah, Jessica we're going to talk about next in depth, but her sort of static text is Jessica Thrice Reborn enters the battlefield with a loyalty counter on it for each time you've cast a commander from the command zone this turn. So she would come in with infinite loyalty. Oh, this also works with this Commander Storm cards, right?
Yeah. And the nice thing about Dargo, too, is that he is 7 power. So with Jeska, who can also make a creature deal 3x damage, that's a 21 damage one shot.
Trample, so.
Yeah, you can do it basically turn 2. If, like, turn 1, you have Mana Crypt, Lotus Petal, or an Artifact Land. Those are really good with Dargo.
Jewel Lotus?
Yeah, you can tap. Oh, God. I don't want to talk about that card.
Jewel Lotus counts as a sack, right?
Yeah, because what happens.
So it gives 5 mana to Dargo.
Yeah, you get 3 mana from it, and you sack the card, which counts 2 mana towards Dargo. So it's a 5 mana. Treasures count for 3 because you sack it and you get
and
1 mana from it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So basically you get a bunch of, you also, I think in this deck, if you want to play the combo-tastic competitive version, you're playing like XX spells like Chalice of the Void, because you can play it for 0 mana on turn 1. Astral Cornucopia, Everflowing Chalice, because even if you don't pay mana to have them or have those tap for mana or do their thing, you can still sack it to cast Dargo. Mm-hmm. And then you can basically get Dargo out turn 1, Jeska out turn 2, and
kill
then
somebody.
Kill someone.
Yeah.
So,
and then if you get a Phyrexian Altar at any point, you probably just win the game there too.
Yeah, because you're going to play your Impact Tremors and Periphrosis and all that stuff.
Yeah, just infinitely casting Dargo will probably do it. That's I did not look at this card and think, wow, that's broken.
Yeah, the card is actually broken.
Wow.
It's really powerful. And then you have a lot of, I think you're playing all the really cheap artifacts that want to get sacrificed, like Pyrite Spellbomb, Tormod's Crypt, Chromatic Star, Arkham's Astrolabe, Pentat
I mean, all the
Rhythm.
Zero cast artifacts basically are sort of better Lotus Petals.
They're kind of like ritual-esque things for Dargo, because you just basically, he is a sack
out. Yeah, exactly. He allows you to sack him, so it's not like you're stuck there with a zero cast artifact.
Yeah.
Or zero cost artifact that you can't sack. When you cast Dargo, as an additional cost to cast a spell, you can sacrifice any number of artifacts, yeah.
Yeah, which is really nuts. And then I think I was also looking at cards with Echo on them, because I used to play them in my Goblin deck. And because Echo is in effect that you have to basically pay the Echo cost at your next upkeep, otherwise you sacrifice it, that counts towards reducing Dargo's casting cost. Yeah. So Mog War Marshal is a 1 in a red creature that when it enters the battlefield or dies, you make a 1/1 red goblin creature token. So you can cast Mog War Marshal, and it has Echo of 1 in a red. So even if you don't cast Dargo that turn, the next turn you don't pay the Echo cost, this automatically sacks, and then Dargo gets reduced by 2. And then you have 2 1/1 red goblins that you can also sack to Dargo to make them cost 1 red mana.
Wow.
Yeah. And then you've got Sting Scourger, which does the same thing. Generator Servant, which is 1 in a red for a 2/1. You can tap it to sack and add colorless. And if that is it spent to cast a creature spell, it gains haste until end of turn. So
that
is
gives you four mana.
Yeah.
So turn 3, you play this turn 2, turn 3, Dargo comes out with haste?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. And then Hobble Fiend is a new card from M21 that's a common. Definitely keep an eye on this one, because you can pay 1 mana to sack another creature and you put a +1/+1 counter on Hobble Fiend. So again, you're just running, I think, a lot of things that like to be sacked, creatures that can be sacked, because even if you're sacking it to another thing, Dargo gets reduced in this cost. Hooray. More value if you play Dockside Extortionist.
No, that, if you don't, you're kind of nuts, but
congrats. You've got treasures that all pay for a lot of mana. Smothering Tithe.
Pretty good. As if it needed help.
Mana Echoes, because now when it enters the battlefield, if there's another pirate out there, you just start getting infinite mana that way. And then people were saying, yeah, maybe you play this as Active Treason tribal deck, because you can always steal stuff and then sack it to Dargo to cast him again, yep, which is pretty cool. I think I'm going to pair this with other partners. If you do Timna, you get black and white, so you get tutors and the card draw from attacking.
Plus you get Timna.
If you play it with Silas Wren, you get blue and black, so you get tutors, and then you also get the artifact sub theme as well. Same thing goes for Keskit, the Flesh Sculptor, which we'll talk about later in another episode. It's a new partner from the set.
I mean, black seems really good because you get the Blood Artist, Zulaport, Cutthroat stuff.
Yeah,
which I think you definitely want black so that you have a win con when you go to cast Dargo infinite times if you're doing the combo version. Yeah. And then it's like, well, what color do I want with black?
Black would be the best.
Could be blue. Could be, yeah. Well, it's probably blue or green.
Obviously, you should play this with Thrasios, because there's a bunch of ways to go, you know, like I said, with Mana Echoes, there's a lot of ways to get infinite mana. But you know what?
I think every single partner, if you pair it with Thrasios, that'll be good. Because Thrasios by itself is like a incredibly powerful top tier deck if you want it to be.
Just by itself.
So
yeah,
adding any color or adding even a green or a blue one with Thrasios is going to be really good. So yeah, that's not a commentary on Dargo. It's mostly Thrasios.
And then Tana the Blood Sower I thought would be fun, because you make a lot of tokens with Tana. And then you can go for like a sacrifice outlet split theme. But yeah, this card is just nuts. I think there's tons of stuff that you can do with Dargo. The competitive people are excited about it. Regular players that are not on the competitive spectrum, I think, are also pretty excited about it. I'm excited about it. I might play a Dargo Jeskko deck that's just mono red, try to kill you really fast.
I was thinking, like, it's pretty hard to stop because you can't counter it, because they're like, fine, I'll just, okay, now I go to pay again to cast it for red. You can't, like, exile it because whatever, I put it in the command zone, then I pay a red and bring it back. Like, I think you need, like, a meddling mage or something that says you can't play this card named Dargo, right? Like, how do you stop it once they've got sack outlets and stuff to sack? Like,
yeah, you just have to find a way to stop it that turn. But here's the thing is that, like, because, it, you know, right, like, if you pass turn, Dargo now costs the regular amount again. It has to be that turn. So you just have to find
the
way
turn effects, but there's a few of them that work on other players' turn, but not many.
Yeah. So I think Dargo is really interesting. I think this is a card that is going to see a lot of combo tastic stuff done with it over the next, you know, however long. So keep an eye out for Dargo. He's going to be wrecking ships near you very soon.
Wow. Wow. I did not realize all that was a thing.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the next one, which we just sort of mentioned. It's Jeskko, Thrice Reborn. This is a Planeswalker, but it has the text that they do sometimes now, which is Jeskko, Thrice Reborn can be your commander.
Yay!
So she's 2 in a red for a legendary Planeswalker. Again, she says she enters the battlefield with a loyalty counter for each time you've cast a commander from the command zone this game. So she'll always get one loyalty counter because she will count herself being cast. Mm-hmm. So she'll never just be played and have zero and die right away. She has a zero ability that says choose target creature until your next turn. If that creature would deal combat damage to one of your opponents, it deals triple that damage to that player instead.
Whoa.
Notably, this won't affect damage it deals to creatures or other things. It's only the damage it's dealing to your opponents.
Thrice Reborn, indeed.
Yep. Triples it. And then she has a negative X ability, and that means she deals X damage to each of up to 3 targets. So if you negative 2 her, you can do 6 damage total to 3 targets.
Yep.
Sorry, 2 damage to each target, so that's 6 damage total.
And when you cast her for the first time, it counts as 1, so she'll come in with 1 loyalty. Josh pulled out this card, which I thought was really fascinating because I didn't read the full text on it first. I was like, oh, it's just another one of these effects. No, this one goes a little deeper. It's repeated reverberation. 2 red for an instant. When you next cast an instant spell, cast a sorcery spell, or activate a loyalty ability this turn, copy that spell or ability twice. You may choose new targets for the copies.
So if you zero Jeskko, maintain priority and repeated reverberation it, you'll have 3 tripling effects.
Yep. So if you have a 2-2.
Yeah, they will multiply.
So if you have a 2-2, the first time it's 2 times 3 does 6 damage. And then the second time it's 6 times 3, it's 18. And then 18 times 3 is 54 damage from a 2-2 on turn 3, essentially, or 4.
Yeah, turn 4.
Turn 4,
yeah. You play the 2-2 on turn 2, play Jeskko on turn 3. Turn 4, you activate Jeskko. This is with no ramp at all. And repeated reverberation, turn 4 kill, bomb one player with a 2-2, right?
Yeah, that's
it's not like an
terrifying
incredible creature you have out
you
there.
You can find even like a smaller creature with trample or something in case they have a blocker, but yeah, that's nutty.
Yeah, I mean, not everyone's going to have a blocker in most games of Commander.
Well, they're going to need to block more than 14 damage, too. Otherwise,
well, it doesn't give it trample.
Yeah, exactly. So you need to find some sort of trampler.
Also, trample wouldn't be good on the 2-2 because here's how it would work, right? Let's say they had a 1-1 and you had a 2-2 and you tripled the damage on the 2-2. Even if it had trample, they block with the 1-1. Only 1 damage is getting through to the opponent. So only that 1 damage would get tripled.
Right.
So they would only take 3. So,
it doesn't actually make the power of the creature more. It just changes how it does damage to that player.
And only to the player, not to the creature, which can get confusing, especially with trample.
Yeah, good point. And a lot of people were like, Vorthos, if you combine this with the new Kamal, Heart of Krosa, it's a 5-5 that buffs to an 8-8 on any turn that's out at the beginning of combat. So you could also just commander damage them out with Kamal and Jeskko, which people were like, this is a flavor win, and you can partner them up.
And Kamal gives +3/+3 and trample to your whole team on the combat, so you could play him and give triple damage to something that was already out, that so you don't need the haste and things like that.
Right.
They have brother and sister, so that's pretty good.
Jeskko with any of the, like, if you put her in a Zergal Helm Smasher deck, because Zergal is a 7-2, so again, that's just a great way to get 21 commander damage.
Anything that's 7 power is that's a commander.
Yep.
Yeah, is potential, like, immediate Jeskko, you know, activate, kill you.
again, if you want to go Boros, and Josh would be like, why are you doing Boros? You can play
but I do like this guy.
With Bruce Tarl, Borish Herder, because he gives double strike and lifelink whenever he enters the battlefield or attacks. So that double strike actually is x3 as well with Jessica, because the first time you hit them, it's going to be x3, and the second time you hit them with double strike, it'll also be x3. So you get
it's
to
almost
have,
like x6.
Yeah, you get a bunch of damage that way.
That's quite good.
Would you play this in your Obosh deck, Josh?
I might. Yeah, I think I might. Jessica herself is not. Well, the negative ability actually is damage that would be right. doubled by Obosh. And then, yeah, if you zero ability on something that is an odd CMC and then make it deal triple damage, and then that gets doubled by Obosh. Yeah, I think I actually am just talking myself into playing it in that deck.
Yeah, double, triple. And then the opponent is going to decide the order it goes in, but it doesn't matter here because it's x2, x3.
Three and times two and two times three are the same.
Yeah, if you guys ever did that kind of math, you knew. And then Fiery Emancipation, why not? It's three red, red, red. If a source you control would deal damage to a permanent or player, it deals triple that damage instead.
So that's, yeah, times nine, 9x.
Yeah.
Seems good.
Yeah, so Jessica seems really fun, too. There's a lot. Again, if you can make infinite red mana, then you can just keep casting her and then minus Xing her, casting her, minus Xing her until you get her up to minus, you know, you can minus her for minus 1,000 or whatever and just kill people.
Well, she can't hit players, so all you could... No, it's any target. Oh, it's three targets. Oh, yeah.
So every time you cast her, you can always minus X her to get her back to zero and have her die. So that way, if you have infinite red mana, recast her.
So you put her in the Elena deck.
Yes.
As a win con for when you create infinite mana. You probably put her in the Dargo deck too, because
there are ways for Dargo to get up to.
Also, she makes Dargo hit for 21 and he's got trample already. But yeah, also if there are probably combos in the Dargo deck that just instantly end you up with infinite mana.
Yep.
And if you don't have Purphoros or Blood Artist, then she could be a win con too.
Yep, lots of crazy ways to go.
Oh, she has to be in your command zone to do it, though, right?
Yes.
So you're choosing her.
Well, for Dargo, not necessarily, because Dargo, you just keep recasting.
You keep recasting Dargo. I'm saying Jessica, you'd have to... Oh, right.
So and Elena, too, because you could generate infinite mana with Elena, and then keep... If you have a way to sack Elena, you can just keep recasting her as well.
Yeah, but she has to have haste in that case, then, to be able to tap again. And I guess you create the infinite mana first.
Infinite mana, then.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of ways of going around it, but Jessica seems really interesting, either in the deck or as a partner. I actually, you know, for just these first four commanders, I'm really pleased with just the different direction it's all going.
Yeah, it's true. Like, none of these are the exact same deck either, right? Like, they all want different things and kind of do different things. And Jessica maybe, like, can help augment a couple of these other strategies or work on her own. But yeah, these don't feel super similar.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Good job, Watsy, for red. Happy.
Well, we've got four more partner commanders to talk about here, but before we get to those, we're going to take a quick break and hear a message from our sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. We have four more legendary partner creatures in red to talk about from Commander Legends. So let's get going with the cutest one of all of them, because a lot of these are not very cute, especially these next three. They're actually kind of disgusting. It's Kedis, Emberclaw Familiar. It's a one in a red for a 1/1 legendary elemental lizard. I almost said wizard. And it says, whenever a commander you control deals combat damage to an opponent, it deals that much damage to each other opponent. So,
Echoes of Saskia.
Echoes of Saskia. You definitely put this in Saskia because...
Oh, boy.
Yeah. As Saskia enters the battlefield, you choose a player, and then whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, it deals that much damage to the chosen player. So with Kedis, you can put that on Saskia, and then Saskia is doing damage as well. It's a vigilance with haste. So you're just dealing damage all over the place if you decide to go that route. And then again, Malcolm Kenai Navigator, Ghost of Ramirez de Pietro, and Breaches, Brazen Plunderer that we talked about are all pirates that care about dealing damage to other players, and Kedis is going to basically double that up.
So the damage that Kedis makes them deal to the other opponents won't be combat damage.
It won't be combat damage.
So for like Breaches, it works good because it doesn't care if it's combat damage. But yeah, anything that says combat damage specifically, you won't get that for each of your opponents. You only get it for the one that you originally hit. Still can be good.
But. So ignore Ghosts of Ramirez de Pietro. Malcolm Kenai Navigator and Breaches are both just regular damage.
And I think Ghost of Ramirez might still be fine just because a deck like Kedis is going to have to get that initial combat damage on somebody. So it's going to be focused on that. So you're still going to get the trigger. Damage. Yeah.
And then,
oh boy,
you know, you could play Infect with this deck. And I think you would want to because now you're dealing a lot of damage. And it's always going to be Infect damage.
Saskia Infect is sort of the way to go. So we know this Effect plus Infect is very good because, now you just have to deal 10 to one player to kill all players. That's the kind of thing. Oh boy, and it's a 2-drop.
Yeah, it comes out really easily, really fast.
Craig is for sure building this deck.
Or it's already built. He's just slotting this cute little lizard in. And then, you know, past that, this isn't too exciting. This is just like a do a lot of damage type deck. So if you're doing the Boros Akiri deck, if you're playing Kamal Heart of Krosa, you're doing the Overwhelm Trample Gruul deck. If you're playing Bruce Tarl, you're doing Double Strike and a lot of damage. If you're playing Xu Yun, one of my favorite decks as well, I think this is really great because Xu Yun has a really hard time killing multiple people. So you can basically have Xu Yun Alpha Strike someone with Kedis to do the damage to someone else.
I think then like Greven might be really, really good because Greven's going to like get big enough to get rid of one player, but being able to like play this on that turn, hit, you know, one player for 25 and then incidentally hit the other ones for 25. Yeah. Even if that doesn't kill him, it makes it so you have a chance now to win the game rather than just knock out one player, then die, which happens a lot.
Yeah, and someone else could be like, now they're in striking range of me.
Right.
And they'll take them out as well. So thanks, Kedis. You're super cute.
All right, let's talk about the next one, which is a famous character in Magic.
And Thumbless.
Yeah. It's actually Krark the Thumbless. Krark's Thumb and Krark's Other Thumb are both cards we've seen in the past. So Krark the Thumbless is one and a red for a 2/2 legendary goblin wizard. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, flip a coin. If you lose the flip, return that spell to its owner's hand. If you win the flip, copy that spell, and you may choose new targets for the copy. So this gives you a ostensibly 50-50 chance to copy your spell or
just get it back.
Yeah, send it back to your hand so it doesn't happen. So either you get two of it or you get none of it. Obviously, there are ways to manipulate coin flipping a little bit, and Krark's Thumb will help us with that.
Yeah, Krark's Thumb, obviously. You can't play the other one because it's an uncard.
Yeah, silver bordered.
Yeah, but I think if you are playing Krark as a partner, you're going to want to partner it up with a card that plays blue because a lot of people are saying that the Xander Split / Okun deck, which is all about flipping coins and drawing cards, is actually better in the 99 because Xander Split and Okun have partner with, which means that when either of them enters the battlefield, you can tutor the other one out.
Or you could have one. Yeah. You're right.
Or you can put Krark in that deck as well if it's just a coin flip dot deck. But I actually think Krark is better as the leader. And then if you play him with like a Kaikar deck, or inside the Kaikar Winds Fury deck, which cares about casting non-creature spells, Krark is just going to either give you double the spells and you still get the cast of a non-creature spell, or you get the cast of a non-creature spell and you bounce it back to your hand.
Which is not that bad because you made the spirit.
Yeah.
And cast it again. That's interesting. Anything that triggers off of a a casting of a non-creature spell or an instant or sorcery,
yeah,
at least you'll get that value out of Quark, even if it doesn't double the spell. That's interesting.
I like you can that. Play a lot of like cantrips and stuff, really cheap castable spells, so you can even sack the spirit that you make to cast it again and sort of like get that storm thing going if you're going that direction. Calamax the Storm Sire, also pretty good because you can just basically, if you get, you cast the spell, both the triggers go on the sack, you're still going to copy the spell regardless of whether or not Quark copies it or throws it back to your hand.
So maybe you get three, maybe you get one, but you don't get zero.
Yeah, you never get zero, which is actually kind of cool. The Zada Hedron Grinder deck is all about casting instants or sorceries that target only Zada. You can obviously see the synergies there. Same with Feather the Redeemed. Quark just seems like a really interesting way to get a lot of, again, it's just whenever you cast, you kind of get, it's really interesting with Feather because you can stack it so that you get the card to be exiled, and then you can have Quark decide whether or not to copy it or not. So you can still get it. Oh, in which case it's
two. Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
And then I think you might play this in the Narset deck because of the cards that you cast if you want to go nuts.
To me, Narset's like, if I swing once, I'll win, and Quark makes it so that...
Maybe that doesn't happen.
Yeah, right? Like, I flip, yep, I got the extra turn and extra combo cards, but now they got bounced in my hand, where it's like, if those just resolve, I don't need twice as many of them.
Yeah.
I'm still going to win, yeah.
That's funny. Possibility Storm is a lot of card people are talking about, too. So this is a weird one. It's similar to what happens with, like, Feather and stuff. It's three red for an enchantment. Whenever a player casts a spell from their hand, that player exiles it, then exiles cards from the top of their library until they exile a card that shares a card type with it. That player may cast that card without paying its mana cost, and they put all cards exiled with Possibility Storm on the bottom of their library in a random order. Okay. You cast a Lightning Bolt with Quark the Thumbless.
Yeah.
Possibility Storm and Quark both trigger. Quark wants you to flip a coin. Possibility Storm says you're going to exile that card and then exile cards from the top of your library until you exile another instant. Okay, so you
it doesn't matter which of those happens first, right?
I don't think so.
So either you get two Lightning Bolts or zero, but it doesn't matter. The Possibility Storm
still triggers and you get another instant off of that. You cast that and then Quark, I believe, goes off again because you cast that spell.
Oh, wow.
So this just seems like a nightmare. Don't actually do it.
But the thing is, in order for that to work, you would have to put a bunch of low casting cost instants and sorceries in your deck, right?
Yeah.
But in which case, you're likely to hit a low casting cost instant or sorcerer after Possibility Storm rather than a big one. Yeah, it does. It also seems super confusing.
Well, because this is affecting everyone at the table, and
everyone hates that card.
Everyone hates that card, yeah. I can't do the thing, happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, maybe you just play like a crazy spells.dot deck with Quark where you're playing Gutshot, which you can pay for Phyrexian mana, so you might be able to just keep casting this over and over again. Or like cards like Faithless Looting, where you just put all the spells that care about casting cards, so Young Pyromancer type stuff. You can play Gamble, maybe Gamble twice. Crack the Earth, which is a red sorcery. Each player sacrifices a permanent. So you just play a bunch of like really cheap cantrippy type spells.
Yeah, cheap seems the way to go because if it fizzles and it goes back to your hand, you can either try again or it didn't cost you that much. But you really don't want to cast something that costs like five or six.
And yeah,
that doesn't happen bounce. And you did nothing for this turn. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Quark is really interesting as well. The coin flip decks are pretty not that great because you leave it up to chance so much. But I think this card makes it a lot more interesting at least. So, good job, Quark.
Good job, Quark. All right. The next commander, there's two left, is Rogue Rock, son of Rogah.
Rah!
Going to complain about the fact that there is a commander that we'll talk about next that cares about
rocks
and creates rocks. But that is not the one that is named Rogue Rock, or Rock Rock, as it would be easy to say. Okay. This card's nuts, though, this Rogue Rock. It's a 0/1 kobold for 0 mana. Legendary creature is our first zero cost legendary creature, right?
It's a warrior as well.
Yeah. It has first strike, menace, and trample. Again, it's a 0/1, but it has first strike, menace, and trample. You look at this card and you don't think much, but wow, this card is actually secretly very powerful and possibly, with Dargo, the most powerful of the bunch, right?
Yeah, by far. It's a zero-cost commander, which means that, let's say you play a Joyra Weatherlight Captain deck, that deck already wants to play every zero-drop legendary thing it can. And so Rogue Rock becomes just a free draw for that deck. I think it's really good in mutate decks as well because it's a zero cost that you can mutate onto and it has first strike, menace, and trample. So it's just going to make whatever you mutate into massive.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Why CEDH players are excited about this is because you can play it as a zero drop on turn one and you immediately turn on Fierce Guardianship, Deflecting Swat, Mox Amber, all of these cards that care about having your commander out or a legendary creature.
They've created a lot more commander matters cards, like if you have your commander or how many times you've cast your commander cards in the last few years. And Rogue Rock is so good with all those cards.
Yeah, and the fact that you can play again Fierce Guardianship and Deflecting Swap for zero mana with Rogue Rock out in turn one makes it just a really enticing thing, I think, for competitive players. Obviously, you can play this with Thrasios.
Oh, hey, because, it's Thrasios. Look.
Who would have thought? Because there's a card called Cloudstone Curio that makes this go nuts. So Cloudstone Curio is a 3-mana artifact. Whenever a non-artifact permanent enters the battlefield under your control, you may return another permanent you control that shares a permanent type with it to its owner's hand. So congratulations, we found another combo with Dockside Extortionist. Because you play Dockside Extortionist, if it makes at least 3 treasures, you're going infinite on mana. Dockside enters the battlefield, makes 3 treasures. Rogue Rock can bounce to your hand with Cloudstone Curio. You play Rogue Rock for 0 mana, you bounce Dockside, sack 2 of the 3 treasures to play Dockside, make another 3 treasures. Now you're always up 1 mana.
Rogue Rock, blah, blah, blah. And Cloudstone also known to go infinite in this way, too.
Yeah. There's also Crimson Kobolds, which is a 0-drop kobold red creature that you can just basically infinitely bounce with Rogue Rock back and forth. So you get infinite enters the battlefield triggers, or
yeah, a lot of stuff you could always do. The fact that Rogue Rock is a commander and sits in your command zone is what makes it so powerful.
Because, yeah, you get access to it.
Yeah, Crimson Kobolds is just not a card you really want to draw off your deck. But as like, hey, I already have a partner commander that's got a plan, and Rogue Rock's kind of augmenting that.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
Yep, and then you just play Grape Shot because you cast 1,000 spells, or you have Impact Tremors or Purphoros or Corpse Knight if you're somehow in white and black as well. Rogue Rock as well, you can have a turn three kill maybe with Hatred. Yeah, you just need like a rock
or
and then like a ritual. Yeah. It's 3 black as an additional cost to cast a spell. Pay X life, target creature gets +X/+0 until end of turn.
I mean, somebody would have to be hurt too because you can't pay 40 life into it, you'll die.
No, but you can pay 21.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because again, First Strike, Menace, Trample, who's blocking that? That's very hard to block. So there's a lot to do here. There's also,
I mean, if somebody attacks me with Rogue Rock and I've got a 2/2, I'm 100% blocking it because
you need 2/2s. They're either going to because it's got Menace.
Oh yeah, you're right. 2/2s because they're 100% like doing something, right?
Yeah,
like so. I'm in danger of dying as soon as they do that. Something's going on.
Yeah. And then the CEDH players also were talking about Myth Unbound, which is a new enchantment for 2 and a green. Your commander costs 1 less to cast for each time it's been cast from the command zone. And whenever your commander is put into the command zone from anywhere, draw a card. So if you have Myth Unbound or are able to copy that enchantment, you're going to make your commander cost 2 less to cast for each time it's been cast from the command zone, which means that you're going to net mana with any of the altars, Ashnod's or Phyrexian. Mm. Or you have infinite sacks with another sack outlet. And then you just keep casting Rogue Rock, sack it over and over again. You draw your whole deck. You can play it over and over again. Yeah, tons of ways to win that way. You know, you could play it in the Kiri Lineslinger, Josh, if you want to go Boros with it.
Again, good with all the Commander Storm cards too, right? Yeah. Like the count how many times you cast your commander this game.
Yep.
Those Commander Storm cards are just going up and up.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it makes sense. All the partners, and they were the best with partners already because they count both partners, so...
Najeela, the Blade Blossom, is another exciting one because it cares about warriors. So anytime a warrior attacks, you can have the controller create a 1/1 white warrior creature token that's tapped and attacking. Rogue Rock comes out very early. Najeela is a 3-drop commander, so you're able to just make tons of warriors with those two together. And then if you like have cards like Colossus Hammer, which gives a card gives a creature +10/+10. You can combine that with a lot of cards that instant catch things, like Sigarda's Aid or Resolute Strike or Magnetic Theft. And then you cast Assault Strobe, give it double strike, and you just kill someone out of nowhere. So that's like turn 2 kills, I think. You can also, with Jeska, you like turn 1 Mana Crypt. You play Jeska and Rogue Rock. Turn 2, you play Blazing Shoal, which lets you exile a card with CMC X from your hand. Yeah. And they give it +X/+0, so you just make this into a 7-something, and you kill someone turn 2. Yeah, or you can play like all of the really cheap red pump spells, like Madcap Skills, Bloodlust.
A lot of those are pretty magical Christmas line to get like 4 specific cards in your opening hand, but still pretty cool.
Yep. If you play with Tevish Zot, which lets you sacrifice creatures or planeswalkers to draw 2 cards, and then you draw another one if it was a commander, this basically turns into a
0-mana draw
3,
and then a 2-mana draw 3.
Yeah.
Even a 4-mana draw 3 is pretty good. So
yeah.
The first 3 times you do it, it's great.
As long as Tevish stays alive. So, but that's interesting too. So there's just, and then that's like an Aristocrats deck in red and black, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Rogue Rock, 0 cost. You can do a lot of crazy things with it.
We should say also, Rogue Rock is going to get played on the next episode of Game Nights,
yeah,
which comes out November 18th. And it was paired with Akroma, which I think is also a pretty good pairing because Akroma cares about keyword abilities.
Yes.
So in the Akroma deck, Rogue Rock, when Akroma's out, will be a 3-4 just from its own abilities, which is pretty neat. We'll talk about Akroma more, obviously, in the video about white partners. All right, let's go to the last one.
Yeah.
While we're spoiling things about game nights, the next one is Togo, Goblin Weaponsmith, and this is one of the partner commanders that I play on that episode of Game Nights. So Togo is 2 and a red for a 2-2, Legendary Goblin Artificer. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, create a colorless equipment artifact token named Rock. With equipped creature has pay 1, tap the equipped creature, sacrifice the rock. This creature deals 2 damage to any target, and Rock's equipped for 1 mana.
Hmm.
So this is why I was talking about how, why is Rogue Rock, son of Rogra, is not the name of the commander that creates rocks? No, that guy's name is Togo.
Togo, yeah. He makes sub sandwiches.
That's Togo.
Yeah, Togo. Sorry.
Okay. Togo. So basically, it's landfall, create a rock. And rocks are equipment that equip for 1, and they give a creature ability to pay 1, tap, and sacrifice that rock to deal 2 damage to any target. Not inherently crazy powerful, but I think there's a lot of synergies with this deck. I mean, obviously, you want to probably pair it with green in some way because it's going to be a landfall deck. It doesn't say it doesn't say landfall, but that's exactly what the ability is. They just don't have the landfall keyword in this set. So green and something else if you want to, or just green, I think is the way to go to get the most amount of rocks. So we're looking at the normal boring stuff, which is Rampant Growth, Azusa, Exploration, blah, blah, blah.
Anything you can get more lands on the battlefield, yep.
But then I think there's a lot of interesting ways to just take advantage of having a lot of artifacts or a lot of artifacts enter the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Reckless Fireweaver is really good in the deck. It's 1 and a red for a 1-3. Whenever an artifact enters the battlefield under your control, it deals 1 damage to each opponent.
Oh, you're kind of playing aristocracy type stuff now. You're just like slowly ping them all down.
Yeah, and you're going to be a landfall deck. So every time a land enters the battlefield, dealing 1 to each of your opponent is pretty good. You know, you might be able to deal 10 to 12 to each opponent in a game that way, which is going to get you, you know, a lot of the way down to eventually killing them. Quicksmith Genius is a good one. It's 2 and a red for a 3-2 human artificer. Whenever an artifact ETBs for you, you may discard a card, and then if you do, draw a card, so you can just kind of get rid of cards you don't need. You'll probably be holding excess land sometimes.
That's a good point.
Or just, you know, filter through to find the real key cards.
Card Advantage of red and green, too, is pretty necessary.
Green has tons, but red's got a tough time with it.
Yeah.
Inspiring Statuary, probably one of the best cards in the deck.
Probably the best card in the deck, I would think.
You want to read it?
Yeah, so it's 3 mana for an artifact. Non-artifact spells you cast have Improvise, so that means your artifacts can help you cast any non-artifact spells. You can tap an artifact when you're done activating a after you're done activating mallet abilities, and it pays for 1 mana for each of those spells. So Togo creates basically mana rocks for you.
Yeah, and the rocks don't care if they're tapped when they're equipped
either. Yeah, the creature is the one that taps to send the rock flying.
So if you've ever seen anybody get like an effect like this out, they'll often tap like their Sword of Feast and Famine for mana, because it doesn't change what the Sword of Feast and Famine is doing in any way. It can still just do its normal stuff.
That's cool.
Also, Inspiring Statuary is like a tough card to use, we found out, because it only allows you to cast non-artifact spells with it. But in order for it to be good, you generally need a lot of artifacts in your deck. So I had trouble using it. But here's Togo comes along, and this deck doesn't actually have a ton of artifacts in it because Togo's just creating them when you play lands and stuff. So the rest of your spells are mostly normal. So Inspiring Statuary ends up being crazy. You know, I've had turns where I just incidentally got Togo out early, have like 6 or 7 rocks. You play this, and now for the rest of the game, you just have like 10 extra mana every turn. Yeah. Yeesh. And the rest of the game is not very long after that, because if you have 10 extra mana every turn, you win pretty fast.
Yeah.
Another card that it takes advantage of having just a bunch of artifacts on the battlefield is Krark Clan Ironworks, KCI. It's just an altar for artifacts, so it's 4 mana for an artifact, but you can sacrifice an artifact and add 2 colorless mana to your mana pool.
All your rocks become 2. You can also, if you have Wizard Inspiring Statuary, you can tap it and sack it to make 3 per rock, which is pretty cool.
A way to turn the rocks into a little bit easier damage, because obviously throwing rocks at people from creatures is tough. You have to have a creature that doesn't have Summoning Sickness, you have to have the mana equip it, and the mana to activate it. So it's really 2 mana to do 2 damage and tap a creature. The rocks themselves are pretty crappy as far as throwing them at people. I mean, you can like take out key targets, and you can definitely finish people off with them when they're down a little bit low.
Yeah.
The rocks start to get really scary near the end of games. But this next card is like, I'd put it with Inspiring Statuary as one of the best cards in the deck. It's Gearpir Aethergrid.
Two in red for an enchantment. Tap two artifacts, untapped artifacts you control. Gear per Aether Grid deals one damage to any target. So players, planeswalkers, creatures.
Yeah, this is pretty nuts because very often this deck will have 12, 16, 20 artifacts on the battlefield. And then that just means you're just sitting there at the end step before your turn every time, just throwing 10 damage around. And that's like kill key things. And if there's nothing key you want to kill, you're just like, your face.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times they're like, okay, so I'm dead on my at the end of my next turn because on your end step you hit me for another 7 or 8, untap, do it again, and I'm dead.
Yeah, so you sort of hold that over their head. That's pretty powerful.
Another card that takes advantage of having a lot of creatures on the battlefield is, or sorry, artifacts on the battlefield is Molder Slug. 3 green green for a 4/6 beast, but at the beginning of each player's upkeep, that player sacrifices an artifact.
Well, that's so rough. That is so bad for anyone that's not having a bunch of rocks or treasures or whatever. Yeah, that could be their soul ring.
For most players, it'll be something important, a mana rock at the very least, and you're just like, I don't know, I get rid of a rock.
Big deal. Big whoop.
And then you also want cards that create more artifacts for you, because if Tago's the only thing giving you these artifacts that are comboing off or synergizing with these other cards, then it's not as good as basically creating... There's other cards that do similar things, right?
Yep.
Tireless Tracker is one. It has basically landfall create a clue token.
Yep. Really, really solid.
So clues are artifacts that you can pay two and sacrifice to draw a card. But again, you can use with Inspiring Statuary, Reckless Fireweaver, Quicksmith Genius, Quarkline Ironworks, Gear per Aether Grid, blah, blah, blah.
Or just to draw a card. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can actually just pay the two. And that's something you do quite often. A card that we talk about all the time, Dockside Extortionist, makes treasure tokens. Brass's Bounty makes treasure tokens equal to the number of lands you control. This is a landfall deck.
Oh yeah. My gosh, that could be 7 mana, make 15 tokens, and then you get all that mana.
This is often like, because Brass's Bounty is iffy a lot of times. It just creates the amount of tokens for the amount of mana that you already have.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, is that all I want to do for my turn? No, now I'm just going to use the treasure to cast things. And
right.
It's like, well, what did Brass's Bounty do for you? But in this deck, yeah, it's like make 15 treasures, and then I'll just tap those for mana and not sack them, because treasure tokens work really well with Inspiring Statuary, because mm-hmm. Inspiring Statuary basically allows you to just use them as if they're mana rocks almost, or you Quarkline Ironworks get 2 per, or Gear Up Your Aether Grid's out, and you just, oh, I created 15, I'm going to do 7 damage to any target every turn.
You can use the Statuary to cast Brass's Bounty as well, yep. So you'll have lands untapped afterwards.
Okay, and then there's a bunch of ways... Or not a bunch, but there's a few ways in the deck, because you will have rock tokens that you will equip to creatures. And like I said, rocks are not that great, but you can make them a little bit better. Basically, a rock turns a creature into a pinger for one turn. Right. A little bit better than a pinger. A shocker, I guess.
Yeah.
So all the things that grant death touch are going to be good. So Basilisk Caller, I put in the deck, just like you put it on Tago, give him a rock, throw it at something, kills anything now because it's got death touch.
And lifelink.
Yep.
Right.
And then this is a cool one. Because rocks only cost 1 to equip, so, and you often just have a ton of them lying around, Valduk, Keeper of the Flame.
2 in a red, legendary creature, 3/2. At the beginning of combat on your turn, for each aura and equipment attached to Valduk, create a 3/1 red elemental creature token with trample and haste, and exile those tokens at the beginning of the next end step. Ooh, so Valduk just is holding a bunch of rocks
yep.
that all make 3/1 red elemental creature tokens.
There's definitely turns where you're like, play Valduk. Pay 5, attach 5 rocks to it, go to combat, make 5/3/1s.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
With trample, too.
Yeah.
That's 18 damage, and Valduk doesn't even have to attack.
Right. You can do it the turn, Valduk comes into play. So
yeah, that's actually really neat.
Yeah. It's a fun little moment, right? It's not like a crazy interaction, but I like Tago a lot, and I think that it's actually like at the perfect power level for like our play group and a lot of play groups.
Yeah.
It's not going to go Dargo, Rogue Rock, crazy, combo-y, but it's powerful, and it can get board states where everyone's like, holy crap.
Yeah.
But it's definitely like not a 9 or a 10 or anything like that, so.
A pair it with Thrasios, maybe it is. I'm just kidding.
That's true, actually.
Yeah.
Any partner commander from the set can be competitive EDH, because all you have to do is pair it with Thrasios.
And then green-blue gives you all the options to make Thrasios go infinite and win on the spot.
Thrasios by himself is just a CEDH deck, right?
Yeah.
All right, that is all 8 of the partner commanders in red. To the listeners, what do you think of the red partners from Commander Legends? Which are you most excited about? Who would you pair it with? Mm-hmm. What synergies, interactions, or combos did we miss? Jimmy, which one's your favorite?
I probably am the biggest fan of Jessica or Elena, just because I like the fact that red has this way to ramp on the creature, and Jessica is just a really interesting, tripling something, or, you know, the different infinite things you can do with her. She just seems like very good utility.
I'm Togo, of course.
Yeah.
Rocks.
Yeah, I mean, they're all
just Togo rocks.
I think overall, they did a really good job with Red here.
Yeah, Red gets an A, right?
A lot of different options, a lot of different directions, and it opens up the color pie a little bit for them too, I think.
Yeah, pretty exciting. Good job. All right, if you want to get your hands on any of these Red partners or any card at all from this set, Commander Legends, just go to cardkingdom.com/command zone. That is the place that you want to go if you want to get your hands on these cards as soon as possible. You know, ordering online, sometimes you're a little bit worried how long it's going to take things to get to you. With Card Kingdom, you have peace of mind. They're going to get you this stuff faster than anybody else. Yeah, yep. You're going to have it in your hands as soon as it can possibly get there.
Yep, just use that affiliate link. And of course, while you're there, you can also purchase some Ultra Pro products, because that is the company and the people that we trust the most to protect our game pieces. We use them for pretty much everything here at the Command Zone, for game nights, extra turns. And we also, we should have mentioned this, we also had them make our sleeves as well.
Oh, right. And these are made by Ultra Pro. They have the Eclipse technology, the Chroma Fusion technology. If you watch the Kickstarter video, I actually do the stretch test on our sleeves and not pull them apart.
Josh tried really hard. They also shuffle great as well, and Ultra Pro, of course, just has been our go-to for good reason. If you're going to buy any of these cards, if you're going to make a new deck, you can check out their theme sleeves with the art backs for Commander Legends, or just buy some other Pro Gloss Eclipse sleeves. There's tons of options out there, binders and all that good stuff as well. So big thanks to Ultra Pro as always.
All right, no instep today, or probably on any of these partner videos.
Too many of them.
There's too many videos coming out right now, and we don't have enough cool stuff in our lives, but... Big thanks to our editing, graphics, and logistics team, which is Ashlyn Rose, Craig Blanchett, Lady Danger, Manson Lung, Jake Boss, Josh Murphy, Alfred Estaca, Patrick Nahn, and Sam Waldo.
And special thanks, Jeffrey Palmer. He often makes the living card animations that live behind us here on set, and also start our show with that awesome soul ring at youtube.com/thecommandzonepodcast. You can find Jeffrey on Twitter at livingcardsmtg.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching.
We'll see you on the next 80 episodes of Commander Legends.
Very soon. All right. Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com. Or ask us on Twitter at JF Wong and at Josh Lee Kwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.